Awakening with Brahma Kumaris.
Om Shanti, welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. This is the third in our conversation series between myself and Sister Jenna from Washington, D.C.
I think that the last few sessions that we've shared together have been very fresh and very new. I think that they borrowed from the original language of Raj Yoga, and it took all of us into more the experience of Raj Yoga. And perhaps maybe for the beginning of today's show, we could just do a meditation which could cover the two sessions that we've done.
Great idea. Why don't you lead us?
I'd love to.
Great.
Just for a little while, as you're sitting comfortably, I'd like to introduce you to a practice called removing the labels, which will allow the soul to feel itself. So just travel along with me in the meditation. Breathe in deeply, inhale and exhale. And allow yourself to sit quietly for this moment. Imagine yourself without a name, gender. You're not a man, you're not a woman. Imagine what that would feel like. Imagine yourself without a role, a title, a religion. Just let them go for a little while and think about it. If I don't have a name, a gender, a role or a title, a religion, which consumes most of my thinking and ideas, and I just choose to surrender them, who would I think of, and who would remember me in this stage of consciousness? This eternal relationship with God, the Supreme Soul, becomes available to the soul. It automatically emerges from becoming quiet inside, silent, still. God, the Supreme Soul, the ocean of love, is with me. And all I have to do is to be aware that He is the ocean of love, the constant benefactor, the remover of sorrow, and the bestower of happiness. Allow your original love and peace to emerge. Now you can bring yourself back into the awareness of your room, of your place, of your space, of this time. You see, the importance of Raj Yoga meditation is not just sitting and being quiet or considering yourself just a peaceful soul, but there's a story there. There's a story in the soul, and the majority of the story is good. It's just that the part of the story that's not so good has created a lot of discomfort in the soul. And I need to be knowledgeable as to why I don't feel comfortable, as to why I get angry over little things, as to why I'm afraid, as to why I doubt, as to why I feel that emotions like attachment and ego and greed seem to be so comfortable for the soul to live in now. And the original nature and the original power of my existence is to love. The opposite of attachment is love. I remembered when I heard first Brahma Baba in the teachings of the Murali, which, you know, God Shiva offers the community of the Brahma Kumaris on a regular basis. But he used to say in the Murali, break all your attachments from all your old relationships. Break all your attachments and only remember the one Supreme Soul, the one Supreme Father. And when you're like a beginning meditator, you question that effort. How can I let go of my husband, my children, my friends, my family. I love these souls. I don't want to let go of them. But what Baba said is break your attachments to your old relationships, to the old world. Love everyone.
Be in relationship, but don't be in attachment.
Don't be in a bondage. And I keep thinking about how do I know I have attachment? Is if you think about someone or something that you can't live without, it's attachment. And what happens is that at some point in my relationship or interaction, is that I started to feel like I was handing over a lot of me to you, for example. And now I'm more dependent on you giving me the love and the happiness that I require. And I forget that love is the original religion of the soul.
Interesting. It's like you become part of my identity in that sense. That's where attachment is, isn't it? It's like a sense of ownership in a way. You know, I have a right to your world and your life, and you have a right to mine, and they get mixed. And it actually only brings sorrow because we're meant to be in relationship, in close, loving relationship with each other, but only on the basis of being in the state of love with ourselves and with God. And so if I start to mix who I am with you, then I'm lost from myself. And you get lost from yours and it becomes a mess. So this is it, isn't it? Break that. Be connected only with God in terms of the love and that connection, and then be love in relationship with others.
You see, the thing is to that is that I didn't know I was so disconnected.
Yeah.
And how I came to realize that I was so disconnected was when I started to study and go into the depths of Raj Yoga. I realized how far removed I was from my truth. I didn't know that before.
No.
Perhaps getting angry and upset or having a little bit of attachment here or greed there seemed to be normal human behavior. But after Baba gave all of us a very clear idea of the net worth of the soul, you realize how far removed you were from it.
Mm.
And then why we keep making effort in building this relationship with Baba, why we keep making effort in observing our lives, we're observing it. We're observing the way that we communicate, the way that we love, the way that we are challenged to love, to understand ourselves more, not to cause judgment or anything, but to see if I'm getting closer to a soul conscious being, or am I still living in the body consciousness, which I call ALGI for short. And I don't know what it was or what that day was, but I remembered sitting and asking Baba in meditation, what is attachment? Because it breathes you. I mean, you feel like you live when you've got something that you belong to. But he said it very clear that attachment reduces your capacity to love and it mixes your love. And that's why you get so hurt in relationships, and that's why there's expectations. But his assurance was, if you choose to love me alone, you will see that it's easy to love everyone else, irregardless of however and whatever they are.
Yeah, and how they treat you.
And how they treat you, or how they forget their worth as they're talking to you.
Yeah.
Or as they're dealing with you. And it turns out like that sometimes, you know.
I was on the other end of the spectrum. I had no trouble knowing I was lost. No, really. I think I was overdramatic, you know, I know I was. But really, I had this sense that I really didn't want to live. And if I look back, my life wasn't that bad, right? But I felt it to be so empty. I could do different things and I could be quite successful at them, but they were empty.
There's something missing.
Something drastically missing. And never I could have taken my own life. I'm not that kind of person. But I remember talking to God a long time ago when I was maybe 20 or something and just saying, okay, God, take me out of here. Because what's the point? And for me, I think that's been the greatest gift in this life, has been to re-establish a sense of net worth, but a sense of purpose as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that there is value to be had and to be made and to be when you connect with who you really are. You know, to be so authentic. You don't have to copy anyone. You don't have to impress anyone. It's just about when you're with God, under that canopy of God's love, then that's enough. And you get inspired into action, into express the beauty of that in life.
The beauty of His divinity comes into action.
Yeah.
You know, when we opened up today with the meditation, what we did is that we just gave ourselves permission to be still. And why people struggle with meditation is that when you're quiet or when you're still, all the past impressions come up in the mind, and it becomes where your mind is here, there, everywhere, up, down, in, all around. And it feels disturbing to sit quietly and to see these thoughts in the mind that sometimes can feel like a storm.
And you know the other thing, Jenna, just to interject, I remember before I started meditating, I didn't realize the kinds of thoughts that went on inside me.
Exactly.
And when I started,
that
I thought,
was exactly what
meditation
I was
makes
say.
You think negatively.
Carolyn, exactly right. Because what happens is that we don't know what's actually happening inside of the soul.
Yeah, these 60,000 thoughts a day.
And why I feel that the path of Raja Yoga is so powerful is that when you choose to sit silently, you choose to be courageous.
I would agree 100%.
And when a soul is courageous, it's going to do great things. Mm. And I think there's nothing greater than a soul choosing to transform itself, not because it's down and out and everything has gone rock bottom, but because perhaps it realized that if I continue in this way, I don't think it's to my benefit or to the benefit of my family or friends or to the society. And so sometimes in meditation, there might be three levels of consciousness that the soul goes through. May I share them?
Go ahead.
So like on the physical dimension, you've got the world. So that's called the corporeal world or the field of action. It's where you interact with people and perform good or not so good actions. But while we are here, our thoughts can transcend the physical or the human. So when the thoughts transcend the human, it goes into another stage, which we would call the subtle regions or the subtle consciousness, where it starts to remember or practice thoughts that are based on pure feelings, good wishes. I'm a pure soul. I am originally a peaceful soul. I'm a child of the Supreme Father, the one who's the ocean of knowledge. And these thoughts begin to absolve and soften and reduce the humanness in the soul's personality or in the soul's energy, or shall we say the soul's sanskaras. So when the soul's sanskaras start to get reversed from the algae, the body consciousness, to the soul conscious energy in the soul, it then has wings to fly to God. So the third stage of meditation is where the soul goes back to where it originally came from, which is the soul world, which we have up here very beautifully. And so the soul world is the land of peace. It's the land of silence. It's the land of freedom. It's in that dimension that the Supreme Soul resides. Now, when I take my thoughts to that region and to that remembrance, I experience something. I feel something that is priceless, that is subtle, that is true. It makes the soul feel unlimited. It makes the soul feel that it can love even its enemy. It makes the soul begin to recognize that it can uplift others just through its own love.
It's interesting, all that recognition and realization, but there's not a lot of thinking goes on in that stage of meditation,
is
there?
No, you don't need to think too much, just listen.
But you experience the unlimited nature of it, and then you come back into that corporeal world of action, but you bring with you the memory, the cellular experience, and everything's different. Everything's changed, but you have to keep practicing that,
Very
right?
Very true. And the practice comes in between not just when you sit for meditation, but it's when you get up from meditation the real homework starts. Do you walk peacefully? If I can't do anything good, let me walk peacefully so I serve Mother Earth and make her feel at rest. If I can't do that much, then can I speak peacefully? Can I speak from the soul conscious attributes which define soul consciousness? Can I use my eyes to look at someone and see their virtues and their divinities and their qualities? Basically, meditation is not just sitting in silence, but meditation is walking and interacting in an awareness of the soul's original identity. And if you can take it a step further, that you can have this quiet conversation in your mind between you and Baba, the Supreme Father, is that you can be walking around and saying, Baba, come with me. Baba, you are my beloved, you are my teacher, you are my father, you are my mother. And as you're walking along, maybe going from one desk to the other or one room to the other, or getting into your car to go to work, or getting into your car to go shopping, or getting ready to go to school, or what have you, so much mental free time is available for a yogi. And I'm calling all of you yogis, because all of us actually can practice stabilizing our minds or keeping our mind or our intellect engaged in a healthy dialogue with ourselves and with God.
And that's one of the beauties about Raj Yoga, isn't it? It's not about going off into the jungles, becoming sannyas or a yogi away from the world.
Those days are no longer here.
It's about how do you stay in your life? How do you live your life and not be controlled by the circumstances?
You know, actually, I think I am in a jungle, but I call it the concrete jungle.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And what happens is that I'm aware this is a jungle. I am living in the concrete jungle, and this world no longer offers the soul what it really requires to strengthen itself, but I, as a soul, can offer the world what it's lacking.
I want to pick up on that by tracking back a little bit, because you've mentioned in the other session and now today also about, you know, God can be my mother, my father, my friend, my teacher, my guru, my beloved, or any other number of relationships. And I think it's interesting because God is light. Look at this. What a gorgeous image. This sense that God is this being of unlimited light, and within light everything exists. And I can tap into that when I also connect to my own energetic self, the soul, the light being. And when I'm like, it's like I become merged. I don't, I'm still myself, but I can become completely enfolded into that light. Now, when I'm in the corporeal world, in consciousness, being in this world of action, I can work with this unlimited gift of God as any relationship I need, because God is unlimited. And if I need some sustenance in some form or another in relationship, rather than move into the sort of karmic neediness of a human being, I can take whatever I need from God. God's energy is completely malleable, and he will respond, he or she or that one, because there's no gender either. God can respond in whatever way I need. And I don't beg. It's like I say, okay, I have a right because we are eternally connected in love. And I have my right now to call on you in this relationship. Be here now with me and be in that relationship.
You know, I think that one of the things we go through is that there's been so much on who God is, what God is, that I think we're so bombarded with this ideology of God. And I know with all my heart there's something innate in 6.5 billion of us on the earth who knows that if I sit silently, I can hear him. It's innate. If the soul world is the land of silence, if the soul world is the land of peace, and if God is the resident of the soul world, and I came from that soul world, and I'm here playing my part, and it's time to go back there, then it's innate in every one of us. I don't care if you're Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, even Buddhist, agnostic, atheist, whatever. It is an innate experience inside of the soul. And when I have knowledge of that memory, it gets triggered. It's like if I go to an ice cream store, and if my favorite ice cream happens to be pistachio, if I just see the pistachio in there, I just get happy. I haven't even tasted it yet. I get happy because I know pistachio has given me some pleasure, you know? So I will, of course, get my pistachio ice cream, eat it, and then after I'm finished eating it, regret it because I would have gained 100 pounds after that. But in reality, this memory of this very peaceful, loving, pure, consistent, benevolent God is in the memory of everyone. And I believe that when it's the right time for that soul to emerge that relationship, it will happen for them. It could happen if somebody hears this program. It could happen 5 years from now. It could have happened 5 years ago, and then it gets triggered again today, and you start to feel like, no, this is the time for me. Inside of every one of us, the relationship and connection to God will happen at the right time.
Share a story. I've been up in Mount Abu for the last little while, and a woman arrived who is Chilean, but she doesn't live in Chile that much. She's, you know, doing a lot of amazing work in the world, and I won't go into much so it doesn't reveal her. But until the point when she came to Mount Abu and on the encouragement of some friends that she was staying with here in India, she was agnostic, 60 years old, more or less, and completely agnostic. I don't know atheist, but agnostic. Anyway, she, or maybe it was even atheist, but either one or the other. And she said very happily, okay, until 3 days ago, I'm atheist. And now, no, because I had the experience. And she shared her experiences from doing the course with one of our teachers. And she was just pulled out of her thinking mind. And I think that's a challenge. We try to know God often through our thinking mind, and that's not possible. It's such a human limitation. And she was able to experience beyond that, into that subtle, into that incorporeal consciousness. And I'm aware that we need to wrap up now, and I think we need to have another experience of that.
Of meditation.
That will start to encourage all of you to find your way to a center, because the centers are a very different atmosphere from your homes, as lovely as they may be. But the centers are designed to support all of us in being able to move through those three stages of consciousness.
Yeah. Okay.
So lead us.
All right. So let's take a few minutes once again and perhaps think about some of the thoughts that were shared in today's conversation. I think for anyone who's actually tuning in, there must be something that the soul is looking for to understand, to mend, to empower. And why we choose to meditate is to achieve one or three of these possibilities. So for a little while, breathe inwards. Breathe in very, very deeply. Inhale and exhale. And allow yourself to really relax inside of yourself. And I'm going to ask you, just immerse the memory of God, the Supreme Soul, you the soul, sitting in the supreme abode of silence with Baba. Just immerse the memory. It is recorded inside of you. Don't struggle with your thoughts, don't try to look for a thought, but just trust. There's the memory of you, the soul, in the Supreme Abode, with the Supreme Father, the ocean of peace. It is in these simple, simple practices that the soul will gradually build its powers back. It's not complex, it's not difficult, it's very simple.
And very lovely, no? Very nourishing. I always like this, yeah, I like language, right? And I love that meditation is called a practice. It's not a thing in itself, it's a practice for something. And it's a practice for being who you are in relationship with God.
Very true.
And in life in the right way.
Very true.
So, thanks again for your company. Om Shanti. And thanks for joining us again on Awakening with Brahma Kumaris in our conversation series.
If you wish to discuss your problem or have a question to ask, or want to know your nearest Raj Yoga Meditation Center, call us on 099-99-744-555. Om Shanti.